Today's daf is Vachim daf Samach Vav, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new perek, the seventh perek of Maseches Vachim, perek Chatos Ha'oif. So perek Chatos Ha'oif clearly deals with the halachos of the Chatos Ha'oif, but not only the Chatos Ha'oif, the Oilas Ha'oif as well. And in truth, the sugya of Oifos, quote-unquote, the sugya of the Chatos Ha'oif and the Oilas Ha'oif, really began a few dafin ago with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and I believe now is the time to give it a little bit of an introduction. So, all karbonos can be divided into three groups. Zvachim, Menachos, and Oifos. A zevach is when the carbon that's being brought is an animal. A mincha is when the carbon that's being brought is soilus. Oifos is when the carbon that's being brought is a bird. Now, in contrast to a zevach, which can come in the form of many different types of kachin, it could be a chatos, it could be an oila, it could be an asham, it could be a shlomim, it could be a bechar, it could be a meiser, it could be a pesach. Oifos has to be either a chatas or an oila. Additionally, there are many different reasons why one maybe would be bringing a zevach. When it comes to oifos, it's much more nuanced, and the hechetimtzes that would cause one to be able to bring a knife or to have to bring a knife would be much more limited. But as it relates to the Hakdama right now to the parak, I just think we have to focus on the basic avoida that was done with an oif, which of course is somewhat similar to the avoidas that were done with a zevach, but at the same time, extremely, extremely different. Now, the Torah outlines specifically what was supposed to be done with the chatas oif and what was supposed to be done with the oilas oif. And in contrast to Zvachim, where almost every carbon was brought in the same way, there was always a Shechita, Kabbalah, Hilacha, Zrika, Haktara. The Zrika's here, the Zrika's there. The Minyan Zrika's is Azoi, the Minyan Zrika's is Azoi. When it comes to the two types of Oifos, the way the Chatos Ha'oif was brought and the way the Oilas Ha'oif was brought were completely, completely different. Chatos Ha'oif first. A Chatos Ha'oif involved three primary avodas. The first, the Torah says, the Kohen had to take the oif and he had to do Malika. Malika, the Gemara already mentioned, was from the Avodah Kosher Sheben Mikdash, but high level, it's the equivalent thereof of Shechita by a Zevach. It's the way that the Kohen severs the Simonim of the oif. It's the way that the Kohen kills the oif. But the first Avodah that was done with a Chatos Ha'oif was Malika. The second Avodah was Hazah. The Kohen would take the actual oif, there was no Kabbalah, he would take the actual oif and he would spritz a little long range onto the Mizbeach, and that was the equivalent thereof of the Zrika. In the context of an oif, it's what's known as Azah. The third avoida that he did was Mitzui. Mitzui is the equivalent thereof of Shvicha Shirayim. So any dam that's left over in the oif was then put on the Mizbeach, and it was put on the Mizbeach via Mitzui. Seen Mitzui already in Masechet Zvachim. Kohen would take the oif, he would kvetch it, he would squeeze it against the wall, the Mizbeach, and when he did that, whatever leftover dam would come out, and that was the third and final avodah that was done with the Chatos Ha'oif. As it relates to an oilas oif, there's a lot more avodahs that had to be done. The Torah says the first thing is, the Kohen had to take the oilas oif and he had to physically bring it on the Mizbeach, which means that all the avodahs of the oilas oif, the rabbis, the malika, everything is going to be done while the Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach. So the first thing he did was he took the oilas oif and he put it on the Mizbeach. The second thing he did was Malika. After he did Malika, he had to do the equivalent thereof to the Zrika, which in the case of oilas oif was not Hazah, but rather it was Mitzui. So he would take the head of the oilas oif and he would do Mitzui. This Mitzui is not like the Mitzui of the Chatos Ha'oif, which is only Bimkaim the Shvicha Shirayim. This Mitzui is the actual Zrika, it's Bimkaim the Hazah of the Chatos Ha'oif. Then he would take the head of the Oilas Ha'oif and he would burn it on the Mizbeach. He would then go to the Guf of the Oilas Ha'oif. He would remove Murav and Noitza. So this is some of the parts of the digestive system of the oif that's not even appropriate to put on the mizbeach, right? Where was it put? It was put where they used to put the deshen, where they put all the remaining things from all the other avodas that were done. The next thing he did was he would take the oif, the shisa oisa biknafav, lo yavdil, but he would chop it in half, almost 100% in half, and then he would take the guf and he would burn that on the mizbeach as well. So whereas the chatas oif involved three avodas, it involved melika, hazah, and mitzoy. When it came to the oilas oif, first he had to put on the mizbeach, then you did a melika, there was no hazah, you did a mitzoy, there was aktaras haroish, the heseres murav and noitza, the shisa oisa beknafav, and then afterwards, the second half of the aktara, they would take the rest of the mizbeach, the oif, and they would burn it on the mizbeach. So obviously, the two parshias, in terms of how exactly the seida avoida was done with the chatas oif and the oilas oif, are very, very different. But there's even more differences than that. As it relates to the melika of the chatas oif, the Torah says, had to be done in a way where the roish and the guf of the chatas was not completely severed. They had to still be intact, which in chulin vernacular means they would only do melika on one of the two simanim. So they didn't sever both simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, but it was only one of the two simanim that was actually severed. When it came to the oilas ha'oif, there the roish and the guf had to be completely severed. If you remember, when they were makter, the oilas ha'oif, so they were makter the roish, and then they were makter the guf, which meant that the malika had to make a complete separation, a complete achloiku between the roish and the guf, which meant that the malika itself was an under-assort malika. Another nafkamina is the avoidas that were done with the chatas oif, we saw in the Mishnah Daf Samech Gimel, were done by droimis maravis. The avoidas that were done with the oilas oif were done by droimis mizrachis. So where exactly they were done, which part of the mizbech, which part of the azara, they were done in different places. And then, very, very importantly, the chatas oif had to be done limata. In fact, we saw the hazah of the chatas oif, it was ma'akif that it be done lamata michot hasikra, as opposed to the oilas oif, that had to be done lamayla michot hasikra, which is just one of the wrinkles that make the sugya of oif a little bit complicated, because it's the exact opposite, bidyuk ahepach, from the way it was done in a zevach. In a zevach, the chatas had to be lamayla michot hasikra on the karnus of the mizbeach. When it came to the oilas oif, it had to be lamata. Well, we're dealing with oifis, not zvachim. There the chatas was lemata, and there the oila had to be lemaila. Either way, chatas oif, oilas oif, they're very, very different. The chilukim are very, very nuanced, and we're about to learn out a daf that is going to make chishboinus in many of these nuances. So this is not the easiest daf in Shas. I feel like we've said this a few times recently. But Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to learn Zvachim and Yerushalayim and HaKadosh, and on that note, we do what we do. So, Tehillim Mishnah, Chatas Ha'oif, Sheasa Lemata, a Chatas Ha'oif that was brought Lemata Michot HaSikra, Kimaisa Chatas, and it was brought the way you're supposed to bring a Chatas, L'shem Chatas, and it was brought with the Kavanah bringing a Chatas, K'sherit Halach is its kosher. So again, the chatas oif was brought lemata michot hasikra. That's a good thing. That's how you're supposed to bring the chatas oif. It was brought kemaisa chatas. Obviously, a chatas is supposed to be brought lemaisa chatas. And it was brought l'shem chatas. Amazing. It was brought with the kavan of a chatas. So check, check, check. You got everything right. What's the halacha ksheira? It's going to be kosher. This is where it gets exciting. Kemaisa chatas l'shem oila. What would be if the chatas oif was brought lemata michot hasikra, which is where it's supposed to be? It was brought kemaisa chatas, which is a good thing, but the kavana was not l'shem chatas, rather it was l'shem moila, meaning it was brought shaloi l'shma, or kemaisa oila l'shem chatas, or it was brought l'mata michot hasikra, it was brought l'shem chatas, but you brought it like you brought an oila. Now, which part of it was brought like you brought an oila? That's very much the topic of the Gemara. But it was brought like you brought an oila, or kemaisa oila l'shem oila, or if the chatas oif was brought lemata, which is a good thing, it was brought the way you bring an oila, and it was even brought with the kavana of bringing an oila. In all three of those cases, psul, it's going to be possible. So the Mishnah just lumped three cases where you got it wrong together and said all three of these cases are possible. So let's take them apart. Chatas, where it was brought lemata, kemaisa chatas l'shem oila is possible. Why? It was brought lamata, that's good. It was brought kemaisa chatas, That's amazing. What's the issue? It was brought l'shem oila. Why is it possible? That's the first mishnah, Masechta Zvachim. Achata shaloi l'shma is going to be possible. If you brought it l'mata, that's good. You brought it l'shem chata, so the l'shma was good, but it was brought k'maisa oila, that's possible because you messed up the entire avodah. And in the event that it was done k'maisa oila and l'shem oila, well then the start of the reyesa. Two things are wrong. Number one, you didn't bring it like a chatas. Number two, you didn't bring it like a shame chatas. So for that case, it's pasha that's going to be possible. Asal l'mayla k'maisa kulam. What would be if you brought the chatas oif l'mayla michotas sikra? Well then, if it was k'maisa kulam, meaning it doesn't matter if it was brought like a chatas, like an oil, a shame chatas, a shame oil. The minute you bring it l'mayla michotas sikra, at that point, psul, it's going to be possible because it's ma'akiv that the chatas oif be l'mata michotas sikra. Moving to the oil soif. Oil soif shasal l'mayla. An oil soif that was brought l'mayla michotas sikra, k'maisa oila, and it was brought the way you're supposed to bring an oila, the shame oila, it was brought the shame oila, share it's going to be kosher. Why? Check. It's perfect. Oila sa oif shasol amata, that's the way you're supposed to do it. It was kemaisa oila, obviously that's the way you're supposed to do it, and it was the shame oila, that's the way you're supposed to do it. So you got everything right, it's going to be kosher. Kemaisa oila the shame chatas, if it was done lemaila michota sikra, that's good. It was brought like an oila, that's good, but it was brought the shame chatas. It was brought shalei lishma. Share it's going to be kosher. Ubilvad shalei also lebalel. However, it's not going to be oila lebalel shame. What's pshat in this? The first mishnah in the Masechta. Because kol hazvachim, with the exception of the chatas and the pesach, that's brought shalei l'shmat alach is its kosher, elo shalei olu l'bayim l'shem chayva. And the oil sa'if is no different than a regular oil. K'maisa chatas l'shem oila, in the event that the oil sa'if was brought like a chatas, l'mayla michota sikra l'shem oila, or it was brought l'mayla michota sikra, but k'maisa chatos l'shem chatos, it was brought like a chatos and l'shem chatos, so it's going to be possible. And the reason those two cases are going to be possible is because those two cases were both brought k'maisa chatos. In the first case, it was k'maisa chatos l'shem oila, but l'maisa was k'maisa chatos. In the second case, it was l'maisa chatos l'shem chatos. That was l'maisa k'maisa chatos. As a result, psula, it's going to be possible. And finally, asal l'mata, if the oila sa'oi was brought lemata michota sikra, which is not the way it's supposed to be brought, k'maisa kula. It doesn't matter if it was brought k'maisa oila, k'maisa chatas. It doesn't matter if it was brought l'shem oila, l'shem chatas. All these cases, psula, the halach is that it's going to be possible, and the reason is because it's ma'akiv that the oila sa'if be brought where it's supposed to be brought, and that is lemaiva michota sikra. Either way, if you go through this mishnah again, you can do it 100 times and slice it and dice it any way you want. What you'll notice is that really the only chilek between the chata sa'if and the oila sa'if is when it was brought shalei l'shma. That was the only nafkamina. The Mishnah gave 5 examples of where the chata sa'if was brought. In the first case, it was brought perfectly. In the next 4 cases, something was wrong. And then we chazed over another 5 cases as it relates to the oila sa'if. The halachas mirror each other, mamish. If you do everything right, it's going to be good. If you mix up the lamata, lamayla, it's going to be a problem. If you bring the chatas k'maisa oila, you bring the oila k'maisa chatas, it's going to be a problem. The only place where there's an afkamina is where it was done shalei l'shma. But the only problem is shalei l'shma. So the chatas that's put in the right place and it's on k'maisa chatas, but it's shalei l'shma is going to be possible. The oila is going to be kosher v'lo yola v'ayim l'shem chayva. And really, there should be no shocker over here, right? Nobody should be falling off that chair because we know this from the very first Mishnah in the Masechta. So really, there's kemat no chiddush in terms of the chilek between the chatas and the oila, stating that there's a lot going on in the Mishnah. There's also a lot that needs a little bit of hasbara, which is what the Gemara is going to jump into. So just to set up what we're about to do from the Gemara until the next Mishnah, the Mishnah kept on referring to the chatas was brought k'maisa oila, or the oila was brought k'maisa chatas. Define maisa chatas and define maisa oila. The hakdama to the shir was that the chatas and the oila were brought very, very differently. There were so many differences. The malika was different, right? The chatas ha'oif's malika was simin echad. The oila sa'oif's malika was beisimanim. The hazah, the equivalent thereof of the zirika, was very different. Chatas ha'oif involved hazah and then mitzoy, as opposed to oila sa'oif, there was no hazah. All there was a mitzoy. So when you talk about chilukim between chatas ha'oif and oila sa'oif, or a chatas was brought like an oila was brought like a chatas, it requires definition. What part of the chatas was done k'maisa oila? What part of the oila was done k'maisa chatas? Now remember, the Mishnah says if you bring a chatas and you treat it like it was an oila, or you bring an oila, you treat it like it was a chatas, it's going to be pasul, right? So does that mean any shinui? Does it mean only something specific, super duper high level? That is what the Gemara is going to address from here until the very next Mishnah. So we're starting with the first part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah is discussing the Chatas Oif. And we're discussing where the Chatas Oif was brought Kemaisa Oila. Chatas Oif that's brought Kemaisa Oila, the halach is it's going to be possible. So the question is, what was the Shini? Ilim, the Shani B'Malika. Doesn't mean that the Shini was B'Malika. Meaning instead of doing Malika Simen Echad, the Kohen went and he did Malika Shnei Simonim, says the Gemara. If that's the case, name it like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. What should emerge is that the Mishnah is not like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. The Amar, because Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said, and if Rav Elazar Rav Shimon sounds familiar, because it was yesterday's daf, Shamati Shemavdilim B'chatas Oif. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said that I heard a rumor that if somebody wants to be Mavdil both Simonim, when it comes to a Chatas Oif, it's okay. Meaning, even though Lechatchila, the Chatas Oif is only supposed to be Malika Simenecha, the Oilas Oif is based Simonim, but Shamati Shemavdilim B'chatas Oif. I heard that if you want to be Mavdil Lagamri, you want to do Malika's base Limonim, that's going to be okay. Now, if you're going to tell me that when the Mishnah says that you brought the Chatas Oif Kemaisa Oila, it's going to be possible, must be, it's like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Because Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said that if you bring the Chatas Oif B'Malika Ka'ila Sa'if, it's Tasha, Shamati Shemavdilim B'Chatas Oif. But the Gemara says, why is that such a Chiddush? V'Loya Kimna, the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. We already said at the end of the previous parak that the last Stam Mishnah of the previous parak was like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. So if that's not Mishnah's like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, makes perfect sense that this not Mishnah could also be like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. In other words, you're saying, "E lame the Shani ben Malika, name it the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon with the whole niggin." Yeah, let it be the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. We know already that the Stam Mishnah is here in Zvachim the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon because we were forced into learning the last Mishnah of the previous parak that way. So let this Mishnah also be the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. The Gemara says, "Lie." The end of the day, I hear there's nothing dachuk by saying that the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, because let's be honest, we know already the Tana of the Stam Mishnah is the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, but there's no hechrich to say that this Mishnah right here is the like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, because I could always tell you the Shani Bahazah. Maybe the Shini was not a Shini B'Malika, but rather the Shini was Bahazah. So what does it mean that the Chatas was broken Maisa Oila? You made a Shini with the Hazah, which means instead of doing the Hazah, you did the mitzoy, that's a shinoy, and maybe that's what's going on over here. And the Gemara says, Hachinami mistabro. It's actually mistabro that when the Mishnah says that you brought the chatas kemaisa oilo, it means the shinoy was not in the malika, and you'd be forced to say masnis in the lake of Elazar Rav Shimon, but rather the shinoy was in the hazah, and fakek, let the Mishnah be even like Elazar Rav Shimon. Why? Because the Tani Sefer, the Sefer said, asol l'mayla kemaisa kulam psula, the Sefer said that in the event that the chatas was done l'mayla michot hasikra, which is a problem, then if it was kemaisa kulan, it doesn't matter what the kavana was, it doesn't matter what the maisa was, meaning was it kemaisa chatas or kemaisa oilo. Once it was done l'mayla, once the mukim was done in the wrong place, the halach is, it's going to be possible. Now, it sounds like once you do it l'mayla, asa kemaisa kulam psula, it doesn't matter how everything else played itself out, it's automatically going to be possible. What does that mean? When you say everything, everything. Like everything as in everything. V'afilu kemaisa chatos l'shem chatos. That means even if it was done kemaisa chatos l'shem chatos, the only problem is instead of doing a lamata, which is the way you're supposed to bring the chatos life, you did a lamayla. The halacha is it's going to be possible. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, let's see. The shani b'may. So what then did you do lamayla? Meaning when we're saying that it was done l'mayla, that's the shinui in this part of the Mishnah. It was done l'mayla. What exactly did you do? Even the shani ben malika doesn't mean that the malika was done l'mayla. Ha'amamar, malika, b'chol makom, b'mizbeach, k'sheira. We know this from the Mishnah, daf samach gimel amar aleph, that malika was able to be done anywhere in the mizbeach. And we spoke at the time that we showed him, say, not just anywhere in the mizbeach, anywhere in the azar even. So really, malika is able to be done anywhere. El olav, you have to say the shani b'azah. And that was already a mefurish sugya in the previous parak, that if the azah, the chatas oif was done in the wrong place, even if it was done on the Mizbech, l'mayla, as opposed to l'mata, that in itself is going to be possible. So it's poshim when we say asal l'mayla k'maisa kulam psula, it means the hazah was done l'mayla. So that shinui of asal l'mayla must be referring to the hazah. Well, umid the sefer bazah, reishanami bazah. So it makes a lot of sense if the shinui of the Mishnah that talks about where you did the chatas in the wrong place, it means which part of the chatas? It means the hazah. Well, then it's mistaber that when we say you did the maisa chatas like the Maisa Oilo, which part of the Maisa Chatas the Hazah? The Shinui in the Mishnah is probably the same in all of the cases. So if in the last case we know it has to be the Hazah, we're Mukhrach to say that per the previous parak, well then it makes a lot of sense that all the cases should be that way. And if that's the case, when we say that the Chatas was done Kamaisa Oilo, probably what it means is the Hazah. And if it means the Hazar, there's no hechrich to say that the Mishnah is the loiker Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon. If the Mishnah meant Malika, then the loiker Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon. But who said it means Malika? Maybe it means Hazar, and it could really be Alibi the Kuliyama. So the Gemara said it more like a dichoy. There's no hechrich. The Mishnah means that the Maisa Chatas Ka'ilu was by the Malika, maybe it was the Hazar. But the Gemara says more than just a dichoy. Hachinami Mistabra, it's Mistabra that way. Because the case of the Shinoi, where it was Asal and Maila, is talking about where the Shinoi was in the Hazar, and if that Shinui was in the Hazar, then it's Mistar, but the Shinui of Maisa Chatos, Maisa Oilu, was also in the Hazar, but the Gemara says, I hear, meaning thanks, but no thanks. I hear what you're saying, I'll be in the area, it's not Muchach, maybe Hakadisa, Hakadisa, it could be the Shinui of bringing the Chatos, Maisa Oilu. But that chelik of it is Taka talking about the Malika, and let the Mishnah be the loiker of Lazar Rav Shimon. I, Masisim, the loiker of Lazar Rav Shimon is always like a dachuk. Not in this case, because we already know the Stam Mishnah Masach Tzvachim is the loiker of Lazar Rav Shimon, and a chinami, the shinui of Asan Lamaila, that has to be talking about the Hazar. It's going to come out that the shinui of the different cases in the Mishnah are not the same. I hear, it was the Havamina of the Gemara, Hachinami Besnabra, but the Gemara says, Midi Irya, which is the Gemara's way of saying, Nunu. I hear, Hakid Isna, Vahakid Isna, there's no Hechroch to learn that way. Either way, moving along. Oyla Saifachu. So now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. This part of the Mishnah discussed the Oyla Saif. And it was, as we mentioned, almost identical to the Chata Saif part of the Mishnah. The only Nafkamin is as it relates to Shalay Lashma. So what did the Mishnah say again about Oyla Saif? Oyla Saif, if you do everything perfectly, what does perfectly mean? It means that you did it Le Maila. It means that it was brought the way you're supposed to bring an Oyla. It means that it was brought Le Shem Oyla. Then it's going to be kosher. If you brought it the way you're supposed to bring an oil, I mean it was lamata, the way you're supposed to bring an oil, but it was shaloi l'shma, kashub le olu bayom l'shem chayva. If it was done the way you're supposed to bring a chatas, or if it was done lamata michota sikra, as opposed to lamayla michota sikra, in those cases it's going to be a problem. So again, here too, the question is, what does it mean when we say that the oil was brought the way you're supposed to bring a chatas? It means the malika, it means the hazar, which part of the Maisa Oila, did you do like a Chatas, that the Mishnah says, the Allah is, that it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says, the Shani B'Maish, Lema the Shani B'Malika, doesn't mean where the Shnini was B'Malika. What does that mean? That instead of doing Malika's Shnisim on him, the way he's supposed to bring an Oila, so if you did Malika's Simen Echad, and that, by the way, it would make sense, would be possible, and this would be possible, I'll leave with the Kuliyama. Over here, you wouldn't even have a Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon said, Shamati Shemavdino b'chatas oif. He said a chiddush, that if you do the malika of a chatas oif, like you do an oilas oif, it's going to be kosher b'dievet. But that if you do the malika of an oilas oif, like a chatas oif, lo yiru'inu v'lo yishamanu, nobody ever heard that that's going to be kosher. So is it talking about where the shini was b'malika? So the Gemara says, based on this Mishnah in and of itself, that could work. The problem is that it doesn't stem with the next Mishnah. Why? Because Midik Tani Sefer, the next Mishnah says, Kulon Eimetame Bebeis Habliya. All the cases of the previous Mishnah, the halacha is that if somebody would take from the oif, be it the chatas oif or oilas oif, and he would put it in his mouth, the oif would not be metamehim bebeis habliya. Additionally, umayalim bahen, in the event that somebody was mayal from any one of these oifos, the halacha is he would be subject to the halacha of me'ilah. Now the truth is, this line, which is the opening line of the next Mishnah, which we're going to learn in a matter of moments, requires a little bit of an introduction. And Be'ezah Hashem, before we learn the next Mishnah, we'll speak out that introduction. But just now, in a second mamish, we know that an avela really wears two hats. In addition to an avela being asa b'achila, an avela is also metama. The avela of a behema is metama, b'maga, b'masa, it's a relative tumah chamura. The avela of an oif tahar, is unique, that it's only metama b'beis habli. If you put it in your mouth, the halacha is, that's when it's going to be metama. The next Mishnah is going to say that all the cases in our Mishnah are not metama b'beis habli. It's a little bit of a chiddush, because you could have thought that being that in most of the cases of the Mishnah, the carbon was brought by Oif and Psol. So maybe with the carbons brought by Oif and Psol, something was wrong. So maybe we should view the Oif as a Nevela. And if we view the Oif as a Nevela, so maybe it should be Metama. Just appreciate it a little bit better. Bishloima, if you shechted the Oif, and then there was an issue here, I could hear that you'll tell me, I don't know, at the end of the day, you did a shechita, why should it be metame b'nevela? But you didn't even do a shechita here. All you did was a malika. Malika is part of a hechsher avoida. So if you got the avoidas right, it makes sense that it shouldn't be metame b'beis habliya. But if you didn't get it right, mechatesa. So Mishnah is going to say a chiddush, v'chulon e metame b'beis habliya. That all these cases of the Mishnah, anam etamei beis avliya. Additionally, and this is what we need now for a fleeting moment, umayla mehen, that all of these cases, if somebody's going to be moyel, he would be subject to me'ilah. Now the Gemara says, in the event that the shinuyim of the Mishnah is talking about the shani b'malika, again, specifically, oilas oif that you broke a ma'is achatas, talking about where instead of doing the malika of an oilas oif, which is two simonim, you did the malika of a chatas oif, which is one simon, and still the Mishnah says, what? The halach is in all these cases, moyel mehen. Where does the Mishnah say that? We didn't see it in our Mishnah. It's the next Mishnah, which is really the hemshich of the previous Mishnah. Well, the Gemara says, if that would be the case, meaning if the shinui of our Mishnah was a shinui ben malika, and then the next Mishnah says that where you mishana ben malika in all the cases, emetam beis avliya, and we're going to focus on the next line, umayla mehem, then what would emerge is that this Mishnah is the loike Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because the ik Rabbi Yeshua, if it's Rabbi Yeshua, ha'amar, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Ein moyalin, there's no me'ilah." Now, where is this Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua is also the hemshech of the next Mishnah. It's almost impossible to learn this Gemara without learning the next Mishnah. So we're trying to do some acrobatics here. But the bottom line is that we're going to see that Rabbi Yeshua has a shita that in the event that the oilas ha'oif was brought in the makim where you're supposed to bring the chatas ha'oif, kimaisa chatas ha'oif, and l'shem chatas ha'oif, and when you say kamaisa chatas ha'oif, the malika was done like the chatas ha'oif. Well, in those cases, the halacha is that we view it as a regular chatas ha'oif, and a regular chatas ha'oif, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, is not subject to the laws of me'ilah. Here's the bottom line. If all the cases in our Mishnah are subject to me'ilah, and one of the cases in our Mishnah is where it was done 100% like a chatas ha'oif, which case? The case where it was asan lemata kamaisakula. Kamaisakula means any one of, right? We said kamaisakula means literally kamaisakula. So it means even if it was done kamaisachatasoif and l'shem chatasoif, that loch is milo, well then it can't be that kamaisachatasoif means malika. Because if kamaisachatasoif means malika and the Mishnah says moyla mehen, it would mean the like Rabbi Yeshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds that when you bring a oila sa'oif in the place of the chatasoif and you do the malika like the malika of a chatasoif, and you do it l'shem chatasoif, the halacha is ein moilam behen. It's not going to be subject to me'ilah. And if that's the case then from the fact that the Mishnah says moilam behen, and you don't want the Mishnah to be the loike Rabbi Yeshua, you would be forced to say that when the Mishnah says that if you did it le Mata kemaisa kulon, the halacha is it's going to be possible. Or bechlau, when the Mishnah talks about bringing the oil asayf kemaisa chatasayf, it's going to be possible. It can't be that it was shani b'malika. What then was it shani? Ela b'mitzui. Must be the shinui was b'mitzui. Now, if the shinui is b'mitzui, this has nothing to do with yenashitas Rabbi Yeshua. So aliba de kuli alma, the halacha is going to be that if you brought the oil asayf in a case where it was possible, even though imetamim b'beis avliya, but at the same time it's going to be ma'ilam. Aren't you tripping up with Rabbi Yeshua? Because Rabbi Yeshua holds as a hecha timtza where there's going to be no meila, where it was done 100% like the chatasayf. He said it where the shinui was in the malika. But if the shinui was not in the malika, but rather the shinui was in the mitzui, meaning instead of doing a mitzui, you did azah, you did it like a chatasayf. Well, in that case, there's no shitas Rabbi Yeshua, so you can make a chin with Rabbi Yeshua. But here's the bottom line: you almost have to say that when the Mishnah talks about that was brought kechatasoif, it means that the shinui was not in the malika, but the shinui was in the mitzui. There's no hechruch from the Mishnah b'nei obey, but there's a hechruch from the next Mishnah. Because from the fact that the next Mishnah says moyel b'hen, and we want the Mishnah to shtem even with Rabbi Yeshua, the minute you say the shinui was b'malika, it's going to end up the loike Rabbi Yeshua, and that's not something we can live with. So the Gemara says, you must say the shinui was b'mitzui. Okay, so when we say the oil soif was broken ma'isachatasoif, what does it mean it was broken ma'isachatasoif? It means the mitzui was the shinui, instead of doing the mitzvah, which is what you're supposed to do with an oil saif, you did a hazah, which is what you're supposed to do with a chatzah. But the Gemara says, Eima Seifa, go back and learn that next Mishnah that we're about to learn. The Mishnah over there then brings the machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. The Mishnah said, oil saif, shasol the matik, maiz chatzah, shem chatzah. This is the case where the oil saif was brought 100% like the chatzah saif. It was a done lamata, like a chatzah saif. It was done kemaiz chatzah, like a chatzah saif. It was done l'shem chatzah, like a chatzah saif. Rabbi Eliezer, Eima Meilam, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's subject to me'ilah. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says there's no mila. Now the shani b'mai. That case, the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. What was the shinui? When we say it was done k'maisa chatas, right? What was done k'maisa chatas? Ilema b'mitzoy. Does it mean the mitzoy was done k'maisa chatas? Imadam Rabbi Yeshua. When did Rabbi Yeshua say that if you bring the oil soif 100% like the chatas soif, the halacha is no milah? That's the shani b'malika. That's if the shini was b'malika. Abba b'mitzoy miyamar. He never said it when the shini was b'mitzoy, like we just said a second ago. Vela b'malika. Must be it was b'malika. Says the Gemara. Well, if that's the case, reishna v'seifa b'malika u'mitziyasa b'mitzoy. How are you supposed to read these Mishnayos, right? Reishna v'seifa b'malika? There's no good answer to that question. U'mitniyasa b'mitzoy? How does that even make sense? Now, we need a little bit of help from Rashi here. So, Rashi, we were willing to entertain that when the Mishnah said chatas sa'oif was brought k'maisa oila, it means malika. Now, if you remember, the top Gemara here on the Amid had two tzadim. Does it mean that the malika was done? Kemalika Saila Saif, or does it mean that you were shani b'hazah? Meaning, instead of doing hazah, you went ahead and did a mitzvah. The Gemara was open to both stardom. Right, what was the invoice that came along with saying that it was shani b'malika? It would be the like Rabbi Elazar Shimon. But the Gemara didn't have such a huge problem with that. The reason is because we know from the previous parak that the Stam Mishnah Zvachim is anyways like Rabbi Elazar Shimon. But the Gemara is definitely open to hearing such a tzad, right? The Gemara was open to hearing that maybe the shinui was, it was shani b'malika. Now, when the sefer of the Mishnah that we already learned on Samech Vavam and Aleph says that the oilas naif was brought kechata soif, so we're saying that for sure means what part of it was brought? It was shani b'mitzli, right? Instead of doing mitzli, you did hazah. Why can't you say shani b'malika? Because then you can't say mayalimba because you're getting involved in machlekes Rav Elazar b'Shua. So the chata soif that was brought kemaisa oila, that we're saying maybe means malika. Oilas soif that's brought kemaisa chatas, that we're saying for sure means da hazah. And then the Mishnah gets involved in a whole machlokes Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, where you brought an oil seif and you brought it legami like a chatas seif, and it's clear that what you brought like a chatas over there was you did the malika like a chatas seif. So we're all over the place. We're talking in very, very broad strokes, which is very, very not precise. Here we talk about a shinui chatas seif like a oil seif, and I don't know, maybe it means malika, and then we're saying the oil seif was brought like a chatas seif, you know, it has to mean hazah, and then we have a machlokes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, where the chatas seif was brought like a oil seif, and it has to mean malika. What does shinui mean? Does shinui mean malika? Does it mean hazah? And befrat, is it possible? Is it meglich to learn that the reisha and the seif is malika mitziyasa b'mitzli? According to one side, on the top of the Yom, Sam Vav on the base, that's what's going to come out. The Reishna was Shani be Malika, the case of Chata Soif that was brought like an Oila Soif. The Mitziyasa is talking about Hazah, the case of the Oila Soif that was brought like the Chata Soif. And then the Machlokes with Elazar Yeshua, which is Mamish going to be the next part of the Sugya, is talking about where again you were Shani be Malika. So Reisha v'seifa b'malik mitziyasa b'mitzoy feels a little dachuk, but the Gemara says the perfect answer in yes. Reisha v'seifa b'malika u'mitziyasa b'mitzoy. If that's what comes out, zolzanazoy doshteit and megate weiter. Zok the Mishnah weiter. So before we start the next Mishnah, we're just going to do the Mishnah. But before we start the Mishnah, just a tiny bit of an introduction. Part of it we already said, and now we'll just be moisef a drop. So the part that we already said is that we know that the sugi of Nevela, like we just mentioned, really involves two components. Number one, there's a Macholos Asuras component, and then there's a Tumah V'Taira component. The Macholos Asuras is, you're not allowed to eat Nevela. The Tumah V'Taira is that if somebody comes in contact with a Nevela, he's going to be Tumah. What's unique about the Nevela of an Oif Tar is that it's not Matamba B'Mago B'Masa, certainly not Matamba B'Oyel, right? How is it Matama? It's Matama B'Vei Savliya. That's the first halacha. That's the easier part of the introduction. The harder part of the introduction is Mesechtes Me'ila, which is a whole mesechta, and in the conversation of maybe even the hardest mesechta in Shas, right? So anytime you see the word me'ila with an ayin, so it's a little intimidating for good reason. But what we need in Yonenu is one point. Me'ila means that you're not allowed to have hana from hektish. But not all hektish is aser b'hana in the me'ila sense. It's only what's referred to as kachei Hashem. Now what's kachei Hashem? So super high level, you can say, Kachi Hashem is Kachi Gadashim. Kachi Gadashim is Kachi Hashem, that's subject to Me'ilah. As opposed to Kachim Kalim is not Kachi Hashem, that's not subject to Me'ilah. Saying that, if that would be your answer on the test, you'd fail. You'd get it wrong. Because Kachi Gadashim could be not subject to Me'ilah, and Kachim Kalim could, yeah, be subject to Me'ilah. So Kachi Gadashim wakes up in the morning, because it's Kachi Gadashim, it's Kachi Hashem, it's Shaykh to Me'ilah. If, however, there's a chelik of Kachi Gadashim that becomes Mutabachilah, At that point, that basa that you're allowed to eat is no longer going to be subject to the laws of Mi'ilah. So for example, the basa of a chatos, which is kachik kadashim, la'achaz rika, being that now it's mutav achila, it's no longer going to be subject to the laws of Mi'ilah. Kachim Kalim wakes up in the morning, it's not subject to the laws of Mi'ilah. Stating that, if you would say Kachim Kalim never has Mi'ilah, wrong. It's shayach for Kachim Kalim yet to be shayach to Mi'ilah. How so? The chelik of Kachim Kalim that goes on the Mizbeach, once you're allowed to put it on the Mizbeach, at that point it's treated like Kachi Hashem, and it's going to be subject to the laws of Mi'ilah. So the Imurim, for example, of a Shlomim, La'achaz Riko, where there's a din to now be makdim and put on the Mizbeach, at that point it's going to be subject to Mi'ilah. Now, as it relates to Kachi Kadashim, because that's really the Karbonis that we're handling now, we're discussing oifis, not zvachim, menachis. We're handling oifis. Oifis come in the form of a chatas or an oila. They're both kachi kadashim, so we can focus more on the kachi kadashim component of the laws of mi'ilah. So what does it mean, mi'ilah, in the context of kachi kadashim? Kachi kadashim, ba'oifin stama, is subject to mi'ilah. If somebody would have anah from it, we throw the parasha of mi'ilah, the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebalpeh. It's not kishmak, but that's what happens to that person. Not kishmak, meaning the oinish is not kishmak. And as it relates, however, to once this zrika done, in the event that you're dealing with a chelik of it, the basa that you're allowed to eat, well, now it wouldn't be subject to mi'ilah anymore. Now, from the oila soif and the chata soif, which one of the two has a chelik that you're allowed to eat? So this is an easy question. The oila soif, like the oila spe'emo, is kula kalal. Chata soif, right? The chata soif was allowed to be eaten. Now it was allowed to be eaten. Chata soif, we know this already, was completely eaten, right? Chata soif is a chiddish. It's the antithesis of the oila soif. It's the antithesis of the oila. It's the one carbon that actually had no chelik of it that went on the Mizbeach. That's the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, Rameh Simcha, that we always speak out. That's why the Chata Saif always came along with the Oila Saif, because the Chata Saif had no chelik of it that went on the Mizbeach, so it needs the Emurim component of it. The Inkam Mekoyim Laharich, I am related rabbis. But the bottom line is that the only time it would be Shaykh even to have a Oif that maybe wouldn't be subject to Me'ilah is if you had a Chata Saif and it was brought perfectly. If it was brought perfectly, now you're allowed to eat it. Oh, now that you're allowed to eat it, so now already the halacha would be that it's not going to be subject to Me'ilah. So on that note, Zok the Mishnah, the Kulon, as it relates to all the cases, what does it mean, all the cases? Like all the cases from the previous Mishnah. Even though most of the case in the previous Mishnah, the halacha was the avodah of the oifis was not done properly, but lemaisa emetame bebeis abliya, the halacha is that the tumas nevela is not going to be there. Umayalim bahen, additionally, they're going to be subject to me'ilah. Chutz, what's the chutz? There's going to be one exception, not to the emetame bebeis abliya, there's going to be one exception to the mayalim bahen, which is going to be the case, we gave it away in the introduction, right? The case is mechata sa'if, sha'asa lemata, kemaisa chatas, l'shem chatas, where you checked off all three boxes of the chatas, now the chatas is mutav achila, kachi kadoshim. Once you have a chelik of it, that's mutav achila. In the case of chatas, it's all the basar. At that point, it's not kachi Hashem anymore. At that point, it's no longer going to be subject to the laws of mi'ilah. So that's the only case where it's not going to be mi'ilah. Moving along to the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that the Gemara gave a shout out to a moment ago. Oila sa'if shasa lamata. Oila sa'if, that was done lamata. What does it mean, lamata? Lamata mechotas sikra. Kemais l'chatos, and it was brought like a chatos. L'shem chatos, and it was brought l'shem chatos. You have an oil sa'if that was brought lamata, kemais l'chatos, shem chatos. Meaning it was brought 100% like a chatos. Now, which avodah was done 100% like a chatos? So we saw that already in the Gemara. Rashi speaks it out right here. It'll emerge very clear in tomorrow's daf. But it means the malika, right? So the oil sa'if, where the malika was done 100% like a chatasoif. It was done lamata like a chatasoif. It was kemaisa chatas like a chatasoif. And it was done l'shem chatas like a chatasoif. Rabbi Eliezer says, Moilimba, this is an oila sa'if where you botched up, not once, not twice, but some dritimu, right? You completely got it wrong. And as a result, oila sa'if is always going to be subject to mi'ilah. Whether it's kosher, pasul, doesn't matter. It's always going to be subject to mi'ilah. Rabbi Shua says, hey, Moilimba. Says an unbelievable chiddush. This is going to be no mi'ilah. If you bring the oila sa'if 100% like a chata sa'if, at that point, it's going to be 100% in a situation where there's no mi'ilah. Rashi, this is a spoiler alert, Rashi says, you want to know why? The reason is because Rabbi Shua has a chiddush. If you bring a oil sa'if 100% mitchilavat sa'if me'alavatov like a chata sa'if, it takes on the status of a chata sa'if. It becomes a shtik chata sa'if. And a chata sa'if that's done lemata kemaisa chatas l'shem chatas. What's the halach? It's a kosher chata sa'if. You're allowed to eat the boss, even though it's kotche Hashem. It's kotche gadash, but it doesn't matter. But right now it's going to be in Moel and Bahen, right? So too, says Rabbi Yeshua, if you bring the oil soif in that oifen, the oil soif somehow converts into a chata soif, and being that it converts into a chata soif, the halach is in Moel and Bahen, there's not going to be Mi'ilah. Now, from here until the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer is going to talk to Rabbi Yeshua. So anytime Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua talk, you know there's a lot going on, right? That's something I think we're familiar with, knee-deep into the machzer already. That's number one. Number two, this is a discussion that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going to have that's going to continue in a braisa in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. So we're going to do what we do, which means finish the Mishnah, and then the Izra Hashem will harav on this a little bit more tomorrow. So it says, the Mishnah Vaitam, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, I have a very hard time with this. I have a hard time accepting that an oil sa'if that's poured 100% like a chata sa'if, the halach is that it's going to be in a matzah with a ma'ilamem. And he says, to me, it doesn't stem with the first of the Yud Gemarid HaShatayin Drash Shem. It doesn't stem with the Kal V'chaymer. What's the Kal V'chaymer? Ma chatas. She'ein ma'ilam b'lishma. Ma decha chatas. Where the halach is, if you bring a lishma, meaning you bring the chatas l'shem chatas, k'maisa chatas, right? With the place that you're supposed to bring the chatas. You get the chatas right. You do it properly. The halach is, there's no mila. Why? Because it's mutbachila now. So it's not going to be mila. Obikish shina shma. But if you bring the chatas l'shem mila, let's say, right? You bring the shaloi l'shma mila, but it would be mila. So chatas, when you get it right, no mila. You get it wrong, yeah, mila. Oila. Shemila mila l'shma. Oila, where if you get it right, there's mila. That means it's more shaykh to mila than the chatas. The chatas, you get it right, there's no mila. The oila, you get it right, there's yeah, Mi'ilo. So, Kishinshino, Ishma, in it, Inshi, Yemilo. So, if you get it wrong, there should be Mi'ilo. Madach the Chatas, when you get it right, there's no Mi'ilo. When you get it wrong, there's Mi'ilo. Why is there Mi'ilo when you get it wrong? Because you can't eat it. So, the Oilo, when you get it right, there's Mi'ilo. Certainly, when you get it wrong, there should be Mi'ilo as well. Now, we said Rabbi Shua has a whole shtickle Torah that when you bring the Oilo 100% like the Chatas, it becomes a Chat. Good. That's already going to play itself out in the Gemara. But here in the Mishnah, Tain is Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Shua. You're telling me that in Oila, where you get it wrong, somehow there's going to be no Me'ila? It's impossible. It's impossible. If when you get it right, there's Me'ila, then when you get it wrong, the Zichra has to be Me'ila. Kal v'chaymer from Achatas. Where if you get it right, there's no Me'ila. Yeah, when you get it wrong, there is Me'ila. I'm the Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua told him, as it relates to your Kal v'chaymer, have a pirach on your it's true that if you would bring a chatas l'shem oila, the halach is there would be me'ila. Even though if you get the chatas right, there's no me'ila, but you get it wrong, there'd be me'ila. And it could be the reason is because if you bring a l'shem something, you bring a l'shem something that is shayich to me'ila, so you ashina shma l'davah sheyesh by me'ila, so maybe that's why it gets me'ila. Toima ba'oila, as opposed to an oila, shashina shma l'shem chatas, we're talking about with the oila was brought the shame chata sa'if, which means she can shina shmola davash emba me'ila. You had in mind something that's not shaykh to me'ila. So it could be what we reckon with is not even so much what you're doing, but what you're thinking. And it could be, therefore, the chatas l'shem oila would be shaykh to me'ila. The oila l'shem chatas would not be shaykh to me'ila. Isn't it counterintuitive based on how much the chatas and the oila themselves are mishtayach to me'ila? Yes. But it could be there's a different wild card here. And that is, you have to reckon, what are you thinking about? Meaning there's a percha, your kal v'chaymer is not apples to apples. Because in the case of chatas l'shem oila, it could be, being that you're thinking l'shem adava sheyesh by me'ila, that's a svara to be mechayim me'ila. As opposed to the oila l'shem chatas, being that you're thinking l'shem something that's not shaykh to me'ila, maybe that's why there's not going to be me'ila. So it's true, the oila b'fnei atzma, if you done the car that you're bringing, the avoda that you're doing, it's more shaykh to me'ila. But you're being mechashiv the same shame something that's less shaykh to me'ila. So maybe we have to reckon with what you're being mechashiv towards. Maybe that's the way you look at it. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Eliezer went to plan B. Rabbi Eliezer said, I have a pircha on that as well. What would be in the case of kachik adoshim, which is supposed to have shchita betzafin, and instead you did it in darim, which means it's a shchita psu. And you brought it l'shem kachim kalim. So not only was it done, The Shechita, we're supposed to do the Shechita, the Kachrim Kalim, even had in mind the Kachrim Kalim. This is very similar to Rabbi Shua's case, right? It's even more similar to Rabbi Shua's case, where you had the Oilas Oif and you brought it 100% like the Chatas Oif. You did the Avoida, we're supposed to do the Avoida, the Chatas Oif. You had in mind the Chatas Oif. This is like very similar, right? Where the Kachrim Kadoshim was Sai brought in Darim, and Sai you had in mind Kachrim Kalim, which you're supposed to bring in Darim. Now, what's the metzias of those cases? Over there, the shinoi sai mitzad da avoda and sai mitzad da machshava was a davar she'ein b'meila. Why is it davar she'ein b'meila? Because we said kachim kalam wakes up in the morning not being shaykh to meila. Yet umayelim ba. If you batch up the kachim kadashim like that, you have nothing to be moitzi in midei meila, and as a result, it's going to be shaykh to meila. Af ata alta tama. Rabbi Eliezer tells Rabbi Yeshua alo ilo with regarding the oivosoif that af apish neshina shma. Even though everything was done like the Chatasoif, still this. I mean, you're telling me that no, the reason the Oilasoif, the Shem Chatas, could be there's no Me'ilah is because it was L'Shem of Dov Hashem B'Me'ilah. Yeah, really? What about if I had an equivalent theory of Kachim Kadoshim that was brought L'Shem Kachim Kalim? A very similar case to your case. Over there, you were Shinu L'Shem Dov Hashem B'Me'ilah, and still that Lach is that there's Me'ilah. Amal Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua told him, Ma'arim Kachim Kadoshim Shachtim Adarim V'Shachtim L'Shem Kachim Kalim Shkin Shvon Dov Hashem by Yisav Ahet. In your case, it's true, you had in mind Kachim Kalim. And Kachim Kalim, we said, wakes up in the morning not being Shaykh to Me'ilah. But doesn't always go to sleep at night, not being shaykh to Mila, right? Once the zrika, the imurma, yeah, shaykh to Mila. So it's a davar sheyesh by iser veheter toimar ba'oyva shneshin eshmal davar shekulei heter. As opposed to the chatas, there's no chelik of the chatas. Once you do the hazah, the way you're supposed to do it, that's going to be shaykh to Mila. So the oyva l'shem chatas, that maybe is considered a machshav l'shem davar. She'em by me'ila, as opposed to kachim kadoshim l'shem kachim kalim, is yesh by isne the heter, and it's for that reason it's not muchach that is going to be the case either way. Again, we just started this second mishnah, a mishnah that we saw a little bit about in the end of the gemara right before the mishnah, and a mishnah we're going to see a lot about Be'ezer Hashem and tomorrow's daf. But we're going to stop here, take an exhale, and talk a little bit. Davar b'itay matoiv. So we have the seder b'chabura in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Not just in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, but in the Churvishul, whose legacy as being part of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, which was Chayze V'Neir very much in the 18th century, and then in the 19th century into the 20th and 21st century, played such a prominent role. So I think it's kedai to start now with the first of the Ezes Hashem, which will be several raid bites over the course of the Nesiyah, just to talk a little bit about Yerushalayim, Bizman Hazeh, talk a little bit about the Mokam HaMikdosh, Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam, in Hilchus Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph says, Sholosh Mitzvos Nitztavu Yisrael, B'shas K'nisos L'Aretz. The Yidden were commanded to do three mitzvahs when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Limnois lehem melech, to appoint the king, shenemar soim tosim alecha melech, ulahachriz zarish al amalek, and to get rid of all of the offspring of Amalek, shenemar timcha ezecher amalek, and finally, velivnois lehem beis abchira, and to build a beis hamikdosh, shenemar l'shichnois sidrishu uvasa shama. So the Rambam, quoting Gemara, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Amud Beis says that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, they were commanded to do three mitzvahs. Number one, appoint a king. Number two, destroy any offspring of Amalek. And number three, to build the Beis HaMikdash. As it relates to Livnois Lehem Beis HaBchir, Zokter Rambam, what's the Makar? It's a pasuk in the Torah, it's in Parashat Re'eh. Shenema L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. The Lecha Mishnah, Othenard, asks Akasha from another Rambam, Astiris Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Beis Abchira, Perak Aleph, Aloch Aleph says, Mitzvah Saseh, Lasois Bayis Lashem. There's a mitzvah Saseh to build a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Muchan, it should be prepared, Liyais Makriven by our Karbonis, for a place that Yidden should be able to bring Karbonis, the Chayyel of Shalosh Pam Mashana. And also, where Yidden should be able to go and be chaygeg, be oil rego three times a year. Shenemar, va'asu li mikdash, v'shachanti b'soicham. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira, also discusses the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah saseh, lasis, bayis, mucham Hashem. Rambam gives two descriptions of what the tachlis, what the tayelis of a Beis HaMikdash is. Number one, liyas makrivim bar karbonis. Number two, v'chayin elav shalosh pamim bashana. But the Rambam here quotes a different source. The Rambam quotes the pasuk that we all know, the pasuk in Parshas Truma. It says, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. And freit alechem mishnah, l'chayir etzistiris haRambam. In Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam says, what's the makar that Yidden had a chiyuv to build a Beis HaBchira? And in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the Rambam says, what's the makar that there's a mitzvah say, lastly, is bayis Lashem? Because it says, v'asuli mikdash, v'chayra, the Rambam seems to be bringing two independent makaris to the same mitzvah, and in the eyes of the Lechem Mishnah, this was a kushya atzuma. The tzarechian says the Lechem Mishnah, l'cheret sestiris haramam. Lechem Mishnah tries to give a little bit of an etzah. I saw the Rabbi Zalman in Eben Ha'azel has a little bit of a pilpul to try to give a little bit of an etzah. But it could be that there's a mahalach that we could say. And maybe it's even emes. And maybe it's even pashat. That is, it's interesting, but if you go through the Torah, like we're actually doing now, B'chabura, holding in Parshas Vayishlach, it's interesting to note that the city of Yerushalayim is never mentioned. The Mokom HaMikdash is never mentioned. In fact, the closest thing that there is to a mention, a reference to Yerushalayim HaKodesh is in Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Torah says, Umalki tzedek melech sholem, and the Targum Unkelah says, Malki de Yerushalayim. Sholem, as in a reference to Yerushalayim. But the city of Yerushalayim is never mentioned in the Torah. If you think about it, it's a pella. Yerushalayim, which plays such a central role in Yiddishkeit. There's so many dine d'iraisa and dine d'rabbanon that relate to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and of course to the Makom HaMikdash, and it's not even mentioned in the Torah. What does this even mean? Truth is, if you go through the Psukim, and really starting from Parashas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, the Torah says again and again and again, and again and again and again, more than 20 times, that the Yidden, when you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a place, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm going to choose. And that place that I'm going to choose is going to be a holy place. There's going to be a city that's going to be a holy city, and within that city, there's going to be a place that's going to be the holiest place within that city. And there's going to be many different halachas that are going to relate to the city, and then even more halachas that are going to relate to the place in that city. Just to bring the point. The pasuk says that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they make Avodah Zarahs, and they build their getchkes wherever they want. Says the Torah, Loisasun kem l'Hashem alekeichem. When it comes to the Eibishter, you can't just go ahead and pop up a mizbeach and decide that you want to offer up karbonis wherever it is. Kem alamokem asher yivchar Hashem alekeichem michol shevchateichem. But rather, you know where you as a Yid are going to have to bring your karbonis. You're going to have to bring them to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future is going to choose. From all the different shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvon, the Eibishter is going to pick the chelik of one of these shvatim, that's going to be the chosen place, literally, and it's over there that you're going to go, l'shichnei sidra shuvas shama, that's where you're going to bring your karbonos. V'aveisim shama oylei seichem v'zivcheichem, v'es maestroi seichem, v'es tumas yetchem, v'nidreichem, v'nidvoi seichem, v'b'chariz p'karchem v'tzoyimchem, v'achaltem shom l'fnei Hashem olikeichem, usmachtem b'chol mishlach yetchem, atem uvateichem asher berach Hashem olikeichem, lo yisasun k'chol asher anachnu oysim p'yayoyim, ish kol ayosh sheb'ein av tase, no. You're going to have to go and bring all these karbanis, we're in the place that in the future I'm going to choose. Skipping a few psukim. It's going to be in the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose to rest his Shechina. Shama Taviyu. It's over there that you're going to bring. It's called Asher Anoichim Mitzavah Eschem. Oyvoy Seichem, Vizivcheichem, Maisrei Seichem, Utrum Asiyetchem, V'chol Mivchar Nidreichem, Asher Tidru Lashem. I'm skipping again. Be careful when you come to Eretz, don't just bring Oyvoy's wherever you want. Hashem is going to choose a place. And that place that the Eibush is going to choose, it's over there. Shom tasek kol asher anoichi mitzavecha. Here's another pasuk. Lo yisucha lecha b'sharecha masad degancha v'siroich v'sarecha. You can't just go ahead and eat ma'isa sheni wherever you want. U'becheres p'karch v'tzeinecha or kachim kalim v'chol ederecha asher tidar b'nit v'isecha trumas yodecha kim lefnei Hashem alekecha teichlenu ba'mokim asher yivcha Hashem. There's a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose, and it's over there, Teichlenu. It's over there that you're going to go ahead and you're going to be able to eat it. Ato vincha uvitecha. The Torah goes on again and again and again. Says halachos that we know are negei Yerushalayim. Says halachos that we know are negei the Mokim HaMikdash. But the Torah never mentions Yerushalayim and the Mokim HaMikdash by name. The Torah says, I'm leaving you in suspense. I'm not telling you. You're going to have to wait. You have to wait. Suspense. You're going to find out. You're going to enter it. So I'm going to choose a place, and it's going to be in that place that all the halachas that we know about, all the halachas that we learn about every single day right now in Daf Yomi, all those halachas are going to be negeya. Right? Think about some of the psukim we know. Shalish pamim bashani eirah kol schorcha es pnei oden Hashem weir. Bamokoy. Right? Hashem yivchar. Right? Doesn't say Yerushalayim. It says bamokim Hashem yivchar. It's always bamokim Hashem yivchar. Go weiter in Parsha Shoiftim, where the Torah talks about the Zakim Mamre. Zakim Mamre goes up to the Mokam HaMikdash, and he's a Mamre, right? He goes Kineged, the Bezen HaGadol, and the Torah says, Loisasar, Vasisa, where did he go? Vakamto, Valisa, Alamokim, Ashiyivcha Hashem. Torah doesn't mention it by name. There's no mention of Yerushalayim or HaKadosh anywhere in the Torah. There's no mention of the Mokam HaMikdash anywhere in the Torah. Torah literally leaves us hanging. Torah says, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to choose a place. And when I choose a place, that place is going to involve a city and then a Mokim Kadosh within that city. So when was Yerushalayim chosen? When was it chosen? When did the Yidden figure out that the place is Yerushalayim? And within Yerushalayim, it's the Har Abayis. It's the Har Meriah. When did that play itself out? It's not in the Torah. Where is it? When did it take place? So for that, all you have to know, all, is a little bit of Nach. And really, it's the very, very last episode in Sefer Shmuel. It's in Shmuel Beis, very, very end. It's Perek Chof Dalet. Perek Chof Dalet begins, Vayosef af Hashem lachreis b'Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu continued to get angry at Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, lo yodati alma. Not sure exactly what's going on. Rashi HaKadosh. I'm not sure. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very, very angry. Vayosef af Hashem lachis b'Yisrael. Vayoses es David bohem leimor leich minei es Yisrael ves Yehuda. And because there was this charoinaf, David HaMelech had this impetus, he had this feeling that the right thing to do is to go ahead and to count the Yidden. So we're all familiar with David HaMelech counting the Yidden, which of course is not something that a Yid is ever supposed to do. Machsa Shekel, Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, David HaMelech infamously counted Klal Yisrael. This is where it happened. It happens in the very, very end of Shmuel Beis. And the Pasuk says, Vayomer HaMelech al Yoyov. So the Melech, David HaMelech, goes to his Sar HaChai al Yoyov, and he says, Shut na b'chol shiftei Yisrael. I want you to go wander amongst all the Jews, Midan v'ad Beersheva, from sea to shining sea, Ufiktu Esa'am. And I want you to count the folk, V'yodati es Misparo'am. And when you do that, I'm going to know how many Yidden are there. Yoav tries putting up a fight. Yoav says, Loma chafetz ba'davar hazeh. David, you know that's not a good idea. But David HaMelech says, no, I want you to go ahead. I want you to count the Yidden. No, so Yoav had no choice. He went out to count the Yidden. And the pasuk says, "Vayavru es hayarden, vayachnu bar oirer, yemin ha'ir asher b'toicha nachal agod v'alyaz, vayavoyu hagolado." They literally went everywhere, every single place that there were Yidden living. It didn't matter where it was; they went and they counted. And then finally, I'm skipping several psukim. Vayiten Yoav es mispar mifkod amel amelech. Yoav comes with a census. He delivers it to the king. Vati Yisrael. How many Yidden were there? Shmoina meyos elef ish chayil shoyvav cherev, 800,000 ish chayil that were literally yielding swords. The Ish Yehuda Chamesh Meis Elefish, and then Ish Yehuda 500,000. The pasuk says, "Vayach Lev David Oisai Achrei Kain Sofer Esam." As soon as David HaMelech got the census, then somehow and for some reason, he decided maybe this was not such a good idea. Yoav tried talking him out of it, but he went right there anyways. But at this point, he realized this was a mistake. Vayomer David al Hashem, and David turns to Hakadosh Baruch. He says, "Chatosi Ma'od Asher Osisi." I sinned terribly. Please forgive me. I act I acted very, very foolishly. The pasuk says, David HaMelech woke up in the morning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to God HaNavi, who was the Chayze of David. He was David's like private prophet, and he tells God, I have a message I want you to deliver to David. Holech v'dibar tel David, go talk to David HaMelech, and you should tell him, Koyim HaShem. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sholosh anoiti noichel alecha. I'm going to give you an oinish, and I'm going to give you three options to choose from. So this oinish involves multiple choice. You get to pick which oinish you want. You pick the one that you want, and whatever it is, that's what I'm going to do. God el David vayagaloi. So God comes to David HaMelech, and he says, I have some bad news. The bad news is that what you did was a terrible, terrible mistake. There was some charei naf in the world, and now David HaMelech, he was moisif on the charei naf by counting Klal Yisrael, and because of that, you're going to be punished. That's the bad news. The good news is, at the very least, you get to pick your poison, so to speak. You get to decide what oinish you're going to want. And then God talks. He says, Hasavi l'cha sheva shanim rav b'artzecha. If you want, you can pick 7 years of hunger. If you want, you could also have to run away from your enemies for 3 months. That's also an option. Or there could be a magefa that's going to last 3 days. So what do you want? You want 7 years of hunger? You want to be on the run for 3 months? Or do you want 3 days of a magefa? I have to deliver the message. Think about it for a minute. I'm going to come back to you. I have to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to tell him what you want. The pasuk says, and we all know this pasuk, that Yomer David al God. David turns to God. He says, "Sar li ma'od, nipla nabi yad Hashem ki rabim rachamov uviyad adam ala poilo." What was David HaMelech saying? He said, "I would rather the oimish that's going to be tali in HaKadosh Baruch Hu uviyad adam ala poilo." He said, "I don't want to be tali biyad adam." Cherev and Rav, that's Biyad Adam. Dever, that's Kol Kula Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you want to know what I want? I want that there should be a Dever. That's what he chooses. He says, I know that Kirabim Rachamov, and if my Oynish is going to come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then at the very least, there's going to be a Midas HaRachamim. Over Biyad Adam, man, I don't trust. Allah Poyel, that's not something I want. Va'itain Hashem Dever B'Yisrael. And as soon as David HaMelech chose Dever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately brought a Dever. Me'ad Boiker Vad Eis Moed. From the biker until the time that the dever was supposed to last. 70,000 Yidden died as a result of this. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a malach to Yerushalayim, to destroy it. And as the malach is about to destroy the city of Yerushalayim, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a little bit of a regret, so to speak. Stop. Where was the Malach at that minute when he was going to go destroy Yerushalayim? He was in Goyrin, who Ravna Hayavusi. He was on the top of the field, the geshaft, of a man whose name was Aravna, who was a Jebusite. He was a Yavusi. David HaMelech saw the Malach standing by the Goyrin of Aravna Yavusi. So David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Hine anoichi chotosi, v'anoichi hevesi, v'eila atzoin me'asu, tino yotcho biyo v'veisavi. You know, you're letting out all this anger on all the Yidden. I didn't realize 70,000 Yidden already died. You know what? I'm the one that made a mistake. Take it out on me. I deserve to bear the punishment of Klal Yisrael. Why should everybody have to suffer? Says the very, very next pasuk. All of a sudden, mamish, as David HaMelech has this hergish, he sees this malach on the top of the geirin of Aravna Yavusi, he gets another visit from his private chayza, from God. And he told him, Alei hakim l'Hashem mizbeach b'geirin Aravna Yavusi. I want you to go and I want you to erect the mizbeach on the geirin, right here, of Aravna Yavusi. David says, sure. Vayal David kidvar God, kashati v'Hashem. Vayashkiv Aravna. Aravna looks at, Vayaris HaMelech v'esavod of Ovim Olav. I mean, Aravna sounds like a gvir. He owns acres of property. All of a sudden, the king is coming with an entourage, and he can't believe it. Like, what did I do? Am I in trouble? Like, what's happening? Vayetze Aravna. Aravna runs out. Vayishtachu l'Hamelech apa arza. And he gives him tremendous covet. He bows down to him. Vayomer Aravna. Aravna said, Madu ba doini HaMelech alavdoi. He says, why are you coming to me? Vayomer David. David said, Liknois me'imcha es ha'gayr. I want to buy your gayr. You want to buy my gairin? He said, well, you want to buy my gairin? You own half the real estate in this country. Why do you need my gairin? Live nois mizbeach l'Hashem, because I need to build a mizbeach, because I was told by God that if I build a mizbeach, it wasn't before in the pasuk, but if I build a mizbeach, v'teyotzer ha-magef me'alom. 70,000 people died. You know what's going on, right? Everybody's quarantining right now. If I build a mizbeach right here on your garden, I was told by the Navi, that's going to end the magef. Ravna David. Ravna hears that. He says, Meshigah, we're going to sit down with lawyers now. We're going to write a contract. He says, take it. Yikach. V'yal adoni ha-melech ha-toy v'einov. Re'e ha-bakul ha-oyla. Not just that. You need animals, right? Just take all my animals. V'amayrigim u'klei bakul ha-eitzim. Here's the eitzim. What else do you need? Take hakol nosin ha-ravna ha-melech ha-melech. He said, you could have everything. V'yal ha-ravna ha-melech. Ravna told the king, Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha. Hashem should be with you. You can take whatever you want. I want to pay for it. I'm not going to go ahead and bring oilois on a piece of property that I got for free. And the pasuk says that David went ahead and he bought this property. And David HaMelech went and he built a mizbeach there. And he brought oilois to shlomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer the tefillos of David. Va'teyotzer ha-magefa me'al Yisrael. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. This is the way Sefer Shmuel ends. Says Chazal. And really it's Mefurash Pesukim in Divrei Hayom. That it was at this second when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to David HaMelech and he told him, I want you to buy the Geirin of Aravna Hayavusi, that this promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made more than 20 times in Sefer Devarim played itself out l'maisa. This is when the Makom HaMikdash was chosen. Until then, it could have been anywhere. Didn't have to be Yerushalayim. Maybe it would have been Chevron. Maybe it would have been Meron Tzfas Tver. It could have been anywhere. In Yerushalayim? I don't know. It could have been anywhere in Yerushalayim too. But it was at this second when God tells David, Alei Hokem Lashem Mizbeach B'Goyrin Aravna HaYavusi, this is where it played itself out. That it's the city of where the Goyrin of Aravna HaYavusi was, that would be the Mokim Asher Yivchar in terms of Shtot, and it's that Mokim Mamish that would be the Mokim Asher Yivchar as it relates to where exactly the Mokim HaMikdash would be. The truth is, to appreciate this even more, in Sefer Yeshua, when the Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael and they conquer the land for the first time, there's a few psukim tucked away. They're so tucked away that even if you learn Sefer Yeshua, it's very easy to miss. The very end of Perek Tezvav, the pasuk says, "V'sayevusi yoshve Yerushalayim lo yachlu bnei Yehuda lo hirisha." When the Yidden entered the land in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, and they're going through shtetl after shtetl, they're killing king after king, the Yevusi, who had a stronghold in Yerushalayim, they weren't able to knock out. Vayeshev hayavusi es b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim ad hayoyim hazeh. The Yidden weren't even living in Yerushalayim until that story. When David HaMelech is told by God, go to the Goyrin of Aravna Yavusi, where is that? In Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem? The Yidden are living already a few hundred years in Eretz Canaan. Ad hayoyim hazeh. They had not conquered that city. It wasn't even on the radar, b'chlal, let alone being the chosen place. They couldn't. Because the Yavusi, the Yoshvi, Yerushalayim, they were too strong. This was an unbelievable chiddush. But David HaMelech was told, yeah, that city, Yerushalayim, which has been completely neglected, that even Yeshua ben Nun, with the Nisim and the Floyds, wasn't able to conquer. I'm telling you, that's the Mizbech that he's supposed to go to, because it's in that city, and on that place in that city, that's the chosen nation. I just want to bring out this point, a drop better. From the second year that the Yidden were in the Midbar, the Yidden already had a Mishkan, right? They had a place where they could bring karbonis. They had a place that they could be Oyla Regel, even though the Ramban in a few places in the Spirit of Shalter has a suffix if there was a mitzvah Oyla Regel in the Mishkan. But that raid aside, they had a place where they can come and appear in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All the laws of Zvachim and Menachis, they all applied. They all applied. They didn't have Yerushalayim. They didn't have the Makom HaMikdash. They didn't have that Makom HaShayivcher that the Torah references more than 20 times in Sefer Devarim. Right, just to map it out a little bit better, We know that the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. The second Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. The Yidden had a Mishkan for how many years? For 479 years. 39 years in the Midbar, 14 years in Gilgal. That's where the Mishkan was immediately when they entered Eretz Canaan. Then it was in Shiloh, hashtag tomorrow's raid, for 369 years. Then it was in Neuf Givon for another 56 years. So in total, it was 479 years that Yidden had a Mishkan. It was afterwards that Shlomo HaMelech went and he built the Beis HaMikdash, which immediately follows this mice over here in Shmuel Beis. And then there's a Bayis Rishon, Golos Babel for 70 years, and then there's a Bayis Sheni, and then, Metz Hashem, one day there's going to be a Bayis Shlishi B'Karbi Meinu. But the point is that the Yidden had a place where they can do all the avoiders. They had a place where they can bring karbanis. They had a place where they could be chaygig by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they didn't have yet was the Mokem HaSheyivcha. And the question then begs itself. What's unique then about the Mokem HaSheyivcha? It has to be that there's something unique, right? Because you have a Mishkan now. It's traveling with you. Al pi Hashem Yachnu, al pi Hashem Yiso. It's all over the place, right? All the Membeis Masois in the Midbar. And then it's in Gilgal. And then it's in Shiloh. And then it's in Noiv. And then it's in Givon. But the Torah keeps on saying that there's going to be a place where there's going to be a Mokem HaSheyivcha. And somehow that's going to be different. If the Torah mentions it over and over and over again. And that place that was chosen with such drama in the end of Shmuel Beis, it has to be that Leiroi Zeh Keroi Zeh. Atzad HaShov HaShabahen, they're places of Ashrois HaShchina. But it's clear that this Mokem HaSheyivchar Hashem is different than Mishkan. Because all the places that the Mishkan was in wasn't in the Mokem HaSheyivchar Hashem. It was a place that the Yidden had sort of gone with the flow and chosen that that's where they're going to be. But then there's this one place, and David says, I'm going to choose that that's the place I want it to be. And once it's there, Ein Achrei HaHeter, right? That's where it's always going to have to be. No such thing as a Mishkan popping up after that. So what's the difference between Mishkan, which was with the, together with the Yidden for 479 years, and then Mikdash, which is in Yerushalayim and HaKodesh, that's in the Har Meriah. I found the Maror Mokem Nifla, that to me is a game changer in terms of understanding Mokem HaMikdash, in terms of understanding where we're going now, Ad V'loy Ad B'chlal, right? And that's in the Alshach HaKadosh, in Parshas V'aschanon. And if you have the new Alshachs, they cross-reference the different places where the Alshach says this, B'kitzer, but I'm reading from Parshas V'aschanon. The Alshach HaKadosh says as follows. He says, the idea of a Mishkan, the idea of a Mikdash, is a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mashrish Chinoseh with Klal Yisrael. We're living over here in a world of Hester Panim. But there's a musig of Shechina B'tachtoinim. Where the Eibush says that I'm going to take the Shechina and I'm going to be together with you. But says the Alshach, that when the Yidden had a Mishkan, the gather of the Mishkan was, we live B'tachtoinim, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to come and be your guest. If you let me into your house, if you make a place for me to come, then v'noyadeti itcha me'ala kapoiris, I'll come, I'll be with you, I'll be mashra shechina, and I'll be mashra shechina on such an incredibly deep, complex level that v'chalodim lo yir bayul moyed, there'll be a parashim of tumas mikdash v'kadosha, there'll be an azara, there'll be an heichal, there'll be a lefnai v'leflim. The Eibush says, I'm willing to come and be your guest. It's a chiddush from azach. That there's an idea of shechina b'tachtoinim that the Eibush says, I'll come, I'll be your guest. But says the Alshach, then the Eibush writes in the Torah that there's going to be a day, I'm not telling you when, and I'm not telling you where, but there's going to be a day, and there's going to be a time, and there's going to be a place where I'm going to tell you, go ahead and build me my own house, and then you'll be able to come visit me in my house. I'm not going to be visiting your house. You're going to be visiting my house, and that's going to be on a whole different level. The Mishkan, says the Alshach, was the Eibush to coming and checking into our hotel, so to speak, being in a reyach by us. It's gewald, it's mechayev dinim. The whole Seder Kachim comes from that. But then, says the Eibush, is going to be a time and place where I'm going to ask you to build my house. And then, when we're together, when we're convening, I'm not a guest in your house. You're going to be a guest in my house. And my house, that's already a whole different Indian. That's a whole different madrig of Kedusha. That's a whole different bechina. That's a whole different bechina. The Al-Shech HaKadosh says that Yirmiyahu HaNavi said at the time of the Churban, he said, "Mi etneni b'midbar meloin orchem." He says, I wish it would have been like when we were in the Midbar, where I was a guest, Zokta Al-Shech, because when the Yidu were in the Midbar, if the Eibishter wanted to sever his tie with Klal Yisrael, so what's the Eibishter do? I'm checking out, ask for my bill, I check out, I pay the fees, and I leave. But that's good if the Eibishter is a guest by us. But now in Eretz Yisrael, you're a guest by me. I can't leave. And it's for that reason, says the Al-Shech, Eish for Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Rabasiyam Ha'isa Kamana. Because the Eibishter says, I can't leave. So if I can't leave, who has to leave? Klal Yisrael has to leave. And that's why Kosi Yehuda Me'ayini, and that's why Klal Yisrael had to leave. And the Eibishter is like an Amana waiting for her husband to come back one day. But the Eibishter can't leave anymore. And the Eibishter at the time of the Churban said, Mi Yitneini Bamid Bamaloyin Archim Halavai, I would have been a guest by you. Because I wouldn't have to throw you out of the land. I would just be able to leave. But I can't just leave. I can't just leave. And the reason is because this is my house. And being that this is my house, it's for that reason I have to be here. I have to be here. If we need to sever our relationship, if we need to sever our tie, well, then it's you. You're the one that's going to have to leave. But Al Koponim, it's Mavura. And we're just getting started. This is part one, Be'ez Hashem, part two, part three, part four, part five is going to come. But what emerges from here is that really, within the world of Mishkan and within the world of Mikdash, there were two dinim, two fundamentally different dinim. There was a tkufa, 479 years, where the Eibishter said, I'm a guest by Klal Yisrael. Mi etneini b'midbar meloin orchem. And it was Shechina b'tachtoinim. And it was Mechayiv, all the dinim of Seder Kachin. But then the Eibishter kept on saying, there's going to be a day when I'm going to ask you to do something else. Not just to build a bias where I can come now and check into your hotel, where you can host me, where I can be a guest for the weekend and then leave. There's going to be a time where I'm going to ask you to build my house, and it's going to be Kibesi. It's going to be the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to come to me. I think it's Poshit. These are the two Rambams. The Rambam says in Hilchas Beis Abchira, Mitzvah Saseh Lasa is Bayis Lashem. There's a mitzvah saseh for a year to build a Bayis Lashem. What's the purpose? Liyos makriven by a karbonos v'chayig in elav sholish pamim bashano shenem ava osuli mikdash. That mitzvah was chal immediately. They didn't got the Torah. They had a mitzvah of the osuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. That's a mitzvah they got that second. Build a place where there can be a shechina b'tachtoinim, where you can be mekayim teres koyanim, where you can ever say the kachim, where you can learn zvachim and menachis, you can make a chatasoy v'oilosoy, you can make all the dinim that we're learning about right now. And that mitzvah was chal miyad, and we were mekayim that mitzvah for 479 years. Over then, Zok Rambam in Hilchis Malachim, that is another mitzvah. And this mitzvah is Shalosh mitzvahs in Stavi Yisrael, Bichni Sosom La'aretz. That when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a new mitzvah. And you know what that is? Number one, Livno Islam Melech. Number two, Lahachri Zaru Shalom Malik. The Livno Islam Beis Abchira. And to go ahead and build a base. What do you mean? I thought that's for Osuli Mikdash for Shachanti B'Soicham. For Asuli Mikdash, for Shachanti B'Soicham, that's to have a place that the Eibishter can come with you. A place where the Eibishter can be your guest. Where there can be Shechina B'Tachtoyim. That's a mitzvah. Rather, that's a mitzvah. Toshtein Torah, for Asuli Mikdash, for Shachanti B'Soicham. But there's a gag al gag. And that is, the Eibishter says, there's going to be a time and place that's only in Eretz Yisrael. It's B'Mokam HaShayivchah. How many times do I have to say it? It's staring us in the eye. There'll be a time. And if you know a little bit of Nach, you know exactly when it took place in the end of Shmuel Beis, where the Eibishter says, I'm going to choose the place. And that's going to be Mechayev a new mitzvah. Because as soon as you know where it is, L'shichnoi Sidrishu V'Vasa Shama, there and only there. Va'asali Mikdash is to have a Mikdash. L'shichnoi Sidrishu V'Vasa Shama is to be Mechayim that Mokam HaShayivchah. Umamiduyik, I think, if you look at the Shoyne Azov Shal Rambam, in Hilchas Beis Abchira, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Lasa is Bayis Lashem. In Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam says, what's the third of the three mitzvahs? Livno Islam Beis Abchira. In Hilchas Beis Abchira, ironically, the Rambam's Lashem is Bayis Lashem. A Bayis, build a Bayis, build a Mishkan. 39 years in the Midbar, 14 years in Gilgal, 369 years in Shiloh, and then it's going to be a Noiva Givine. That's not the Mokam HaShayivchah Hashem. That's a place. That's a Bayis Lashem. Hilchas Melachim, that's a different din. The Livno Islam, Beis Abchira. Why did Rambam switch from Bayis Lashem to Beis Abchira? Valdo, the Rambam Retveg and Anangdara Mitzvah. Here he's talking about building that Mokam HaShayivchah. What's the difference? Oh, it's very, very different. The Bayis Lashem is build a house that the Eibusha can come to. Make a Mizbeach and a Shulchan and a Menorah. It should be a place that the Eibusha can come. The Eibusha says, this is what your house, this is what the guest room has to look like if you want me to be your guest. This is what I need in the refrigerator. This is how it has to be stocked. Otherwise, I can't come to you. That's Vasuli Mikdash. That's Bayis Lashem. Livnei Islam Beis Abchira, that's an under a mitzvah. That's the bias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has a whole different surah. That's already a whole different Indian. I think it's poshit. I think it's poshit and maybe even emes. That's these two dinim vashteita on the Rambam. This is part one. Be'ezer Hashem, a little bit later, we're going to learn part two.